my name is Rose Collins. I'm a PhD student in the Soil and Water Sciences Department at the University of Florida. And today I'm going to present my master's thesis work, which is the effect of short-term inundation on potential nitrogen flux in coastal ecosystems. So while we're all here in this session is because we're looking at climate change. It's been an important topic of research in the recent years. For several reasons, there may be increases in temperature, changes in precipitation patterns, circulation, storm patterns, and also sea level rise. So being from Florida, I like to look at the impacts on coastal communities, and these include beach erosion, increased storm surge damage, and then also increased flooding and inundation. So in Florida, the greatest flood threats come from coastal storms, such as tropical storms, as well as hurricanes. And then you add sea level rise on top of that, which Florida is a pretty flat state, so you have storm surges coming in on a higher sea level, which can then inundate farther inland and increases the inland vulnerability to flooding. A study by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change found that a 1 meter rise in sea level could potentially enable a 15-year storm to flood areas that are only currently flooded by 100-year storms. And here I included a flood zone map of 100-year zone flooding areas of the St. Johns County, Florida, where I did my research. And you can see the potential sites that could be affected by flooding in the future. So one of the effects of flooding can be altering nutrient load redistributions within a watershed. And then these load redistributions can potentially deliver these nutrients back to coastal marine ecosystems. And why is this a problem? It can cause nutrient enrichment and eutrophication in these coastal systems, and they can have ecological, environmental, and economic consequences. And below, I have two pictures of two different algal blooms and two different water bodies in Florida caused from eutrophication in the area. So this problem with it changing nutrient redistributions is also looking at the biogeochemical responses of these nutrients, and they are difficult to predict, and specifically for nitrogen. So the top is an aerial map of my research site on the east coast of Florida. Within the area, I have four different ecosystems. And then the bottom picture is the land use map of the study site showing the aerial coverage of those four different ecosystems. So the general objective, as I mentioned before, was the effect of short-term inundation on nitrogen flux from a coastal ecosystem, but specifically, it's to measure and compare the total nitrogen concentrations and the total nitrogen flux into the floodwater across all four of the ecosystems. And then my hypothesis was that I would expect greater total nitrogen concentration and flux from the upland ecosystems, which I'll show in a minute what the different sites are, but I expect it from the residential and terrestrial after being flooded for 7 days. So here's a better picture of my transect. I started from the coast and worked my way inland. And so instead of just studying one dominant ecosystem, I wanted to look at the difference between four different coastal ecosystems that you would find in Florida. So I have a submerged site. I also have a wetland marsh, a terrestrial upland, and then a residential front lawn, which also includes any anthropogenic effects that you might see from fertilizers or whatnot. And these are along a transect, so if a storm surge was to come in, you could expect this area to be flooded along this side. But I also wanted to include different ecosystems that are naturally flooded at different levels. So you'll see submerged and marsh sites that are submerged, always flooded, and then marsh is flooded daily, but then the upland and residential sites are rarely flooded. So just some background soil characteristics. It ranged from a fine sand at the residential to a silty clay loam. There's about 0 to 5% slope in the area, moderately well drained to very poorly drained in the submerged. And then, as mentioned before, the flooding frequency goes from very frequent in the submerged and marsh to very rare in the residential and upland. So at each of the four sites, I collected three soil cores in 61 centimeter polycarbonate tubes to about a 20 centimeter depth. And then the flood water I used in the experiment is fresh, full-strength seawater that I collected just off the shore of the east coast of Florida near the sampling site. Back in the lab, I drained any excess water that were in the soil core tubes, and then using a siphon, I slowly saturated each core with the flood water, and then I topped it off with a 10-centimeter flood water head. After they were saturated, I put them all randomly assigned into a flood bath, and then I placed an aeration system into each just to provide a slow mixing so it's not just stagnant water over the sampling period. And so for sampling, 60 milliliters of water was removed at each sampling time, which I took samples every 3 hours the first 24 hours and then every other day after that. I added 60 milliliters of the flood water collected back after each sampling time. Ammonium and NOx samples were filtered through a 0.5 micron filter, and then all of the samples received sulfuric acid. And then they were each kept in scintillation vials and stored in the fridge until analysis, and I covered the water bath and the flood water with sheets in between sampling periods. So the water analysis that I conducted was for ammonium, total kilodal nitrogen, which is ammonium plus the organic components, the nitrate and nitrite, and then I calculated total nitrogen to be TKN plus NOx, but my water analysis showed there was very little nitrate, and it was actually under detection limits, so I ended up using TKN values for my total nitrogen values. So what I found, so first, looking at the inorganic component, the ammonium concentrations, there's a gradual increase from each of the four sites, and you can see the most from the residential site and then upland, marsh, and submerged. And then I did statistical analysis at 24-hour time period and then after the full 7 days. So after 24 hours, the residential was significantly higher than the other three sites, and after 7 days, the residential was significantly higher than the marsh and submerged sites. And then looking at the flux, it's very similar. Gradual increases the most from the residential and significantly higher after 24 hours from residential and then significantly higher from residential across the other three. And here shows the total nitrogen concentrations over the 7 day period. You can see the same trend, gradual increase from each of the sites where the most is from the residential followed by the upland. In comparison, 24 hours, they were all statistically similar, but then after 7 days, there was more, it was statistically higher from the residential compared to the marsh and submerged sites. And then you can see the same of the total nitrogen flux over the 7 days. And you can see here that most of the activity is happening within the first 24 hours of the sampling period, and then it's just gradually increased after that. So just as I mentioned, gradual increase in total nitrogen concentrations and the cumulative flux from the floodwater from each of the four locations over the 7 day study period, but the greatest total nitrogen flux and concentrations were from the residential ecosystem compared to the other three. And then I did a statistical analysis using the Tukey-Kramer HSD and found after 24 hours there was no significant difference in the total nitrogen concentration or flux among the four ecosystems, but after 7 days it was significantly higher from the residential ecosystem compared to the marsh and submerged ecosystems. So what does this tell us? So potential consequences, a short-term flooding event about 24 hours will have similar effects on nitrogen flux regardless of the ecosystem, but a longer duration, a longer flooding event, sea level rise, could lead to significantly greater nitrogen flux from the residential ecosystem. And this can be a problem with sea level rise and further inland inundation that can reach these residential areas and potentially cause this nitrogen to go into the floodwater and recede back and pollute our coasts. So here I just showed my past work, which is the effect of flooding on different forms of nitrogen flux from the four different ecosystems. And I was using salt water to simulate a storm surge event flooding the area. But for the future, Climate change can bring different forms of flooding, from freshwater, from precipitation, to storm surge and saltwater. So looking at the effect of flooding, but also looking at the effect of salinity on nutrient dynamics, so including nitrogen as well as phosphorus, and looking at carbon dynamics as well. And then hoping to do more background soil characterization of the different sites to possibly be used as predictors of nutrient response to flooding in different areas.